This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
It's time with Mike Bernard on this Monday morning, an analytical strategist helping churches, mission organizations, and you and I to understand the season that we live in. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, good morning, Brad. Goodness, what a sporting weekend. I mean, Bulan beating the Lions, the Pumas beating the Bulls, and Province. I mean, what can we say? You know, it seems like we're in desperate need for miracles at this stage, because it just, you know, my pastor always says, I believe in miracles, but I don't believe in the impossible. So I'm not too sure what's happening there in your neck of the valley, brother.
Yeah, so I'm getting a map out and a ruler, and I'm measuring. Am I now closer to the Cape Town Stadium, or do I live closer to the Bulan Stadium? I need to see which team I'm supposed to support.
Yeah, my goodness.
It's a little bit crazy. So I don't know where to start with you, Mike, because there's always going on. I know you're going down in the Middle East, always something coming out of the US, the paper this morning, making me frown of what's going down in our own country. So I'm going to leave it up to you this morning.
Yeah, let me just start this morning, Brad, by saying the scripture that you read this morning is the scripture I used last night. I'm in Pretoria at the moment. And I'm just always so deeply and acutely aware that prayer, my personal definition of prayer, is redemptive interference. When we pray, we have the ability to interfere in global events from a redemptive perspective. And I'm always also so aware, you know, that the God that we serve is an interfering God, he's an intervening God, and he's an interrupting God. So God so loved the world that he actually interfered in the lostness of man. And prayer is that link between heaven's will for people to be saved and earth's reality of people being lost. So we should never underestimate, you know, that God calls us to interfere in a redemptive way in what's happening in the world. And we see this at the moment in the Middle East. It's deeply, deeply in my heart. If you think the decisions that Israel made this past week to take military control of Gaza, the city of Gaza, and then expand that into Greater Gaza, this is going to result in extreme, extreme hardship of a whole population group that's already starving to death. So it's time that we as Christians take up our godly mandate to redemptively interfere. And I'm not talking geographically, I'm talking theographically. We pray kingdom prayers. May your kingdom come, Lord. May your kingdom come in the Middle East. Not may a nation be saved, but may your kingdom come. And then, yeah, this Friday, Brad, is quite significant in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, where it seems like Mr. Putin and Mr. Donald will meet in Alaska. To talk about peace, but once again, I think it's our mandate to pray, because I don't think one of these two gentlemen are meeting to pursue peace for the sake of peace. I think Mr. Putin is there to avoid sanctions. That will be his prime concern, not necessary to pursue peace with the Ukraine. And I think Mr. Donald Trump, in his own way, wants to be recognized for the Nobel Peace Prize. So he's got his own personal agenda as well.
Yeah.
And we can only pray that God will intervene. Just an interesting piece of trivia, Brad, if you think about Alaska. Alaska became the 49th state of the United States in 1959. But Alaska and Russia is literally separated by 2 miles, 3 kilometers. And yet the time difference between the two nations is 12 hours, because obviously it's measured over the timeline from the other side of the world. So an interesting piece of statistic, but I think, Brad, we live in a season where we as Christians need to take our mandate to pray extremely serious. And when we pray, and when we pray redemptive prayers, it needs to be kingdom-focused. As I say, not nation on nation, but kingdom on kingdom. And I think we live in a season, Brad, where we need to see godly leaders rising up that will pursue peace for the sake of peace and peace for the sake of people.
May I just ask a question to you, Mike, around prayer? Often we know we need to pray, or we maybe get caught up. What exactly does the Bible expect of us? And then we look at things politically and around leadership in the nation. We think, well, that's not my political affiliation, or I don't really know how to pray. I don't support him or her, and so that makes prayer really difficult. Can you help us practically, since we're talking around prayer, how can we actually this morning pray constructively for our nation?
Yeah, this is a critically important question, because sometimes we see prayer as an escape, and prayer was never meant as an escape, Brad. Prayer was also always meant to focus on kingdom and to seek the kingdom, and kingdom does not always mean, you know, it's comfortable for us. This is actually what I spoke about last night, so sorry about that. Let me quickly mention one or two things that are really important for prayer. First of all, when we pray, prayer demands a kingdom focus, so we need to focus on the kingdom. We need to focus on God's kingdom, not man's kingdom. When we pray for our nation, we pray for the kingdom to come, not South Africa to be prosperous or comfortable or secure. We pray, Lord, may your redemptive kingdom penetrate hearts. And if it comes through difficult times, may that be. Prayer demands forgiveness. Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So unless we are willing to forgive those in this nation, in the world, who have harmed us, who have sinned against us, and who sought to destroy us in one way or another, unless we forgive, there cannot be an answer to our prayers. I love what Yolande Corke once said. Her husband, Pierre, was killed in Yemen. And she said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping the other person will die. So we need to pray with a real spirit of forgiveness. Thirdly, Brad, this is critically important.
Yeah.
Prayer demands insight. I listen to so many prayers where Christians pray without really understanding the full kingdom context of what's happening in the world. The men of Issachar in Numbers were the men from the tribe who understood the seasons and who knew what to do. So we need to have an insight into what's happening in the world. Be careful for manipulative news. Be careful for false news and fake news, because it seems like it's rife at the moment across the globe. Fourthly, prayer demands gratitude. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. It's time in South Africa, Brad, that we stop complaining. For God's sake, stop complaining and say thank you for what we have in this nation. The freedom to listen to you this morning, the freedom to express our love for Christ publicly on air is one of the greatest privileges that we have in this nation. Let us thank the Lord for that. And then lastly, prayer demands action. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. And then the Lord says, you go. So it's time that we pray and act. I said it before. They asked one of the Christian leaders, what's more important, praying or doing? And he answered, well, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? We need both to sustain our spiritual lives.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So yeah, Brad, I think there's 5 points to put our prayers into action.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.